look at the Word of God. This passage here, 1 through 11, is the planting of the Church of Corinth. And of course, the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians are letters that have been written to these two churches, or to this church. But right now, it's not a church. Verse number 1, it doesn't exist. But by the time we get to verse 11, there's a new church, and it's a new baby church. And church planting being on my heart as a missionary, I love to talk about it. So here we go. Verse number 1, it says, after these things. Those things is Paul going to a city, preaching, and getting kicked out. Now that doesn't sound too bad, except he did it over and over and over and over again. He would preach and get kicked out, and preach and get kicked out, and preach and get kicked out. Any idea what Paul liked to do? Preach and get kicked out. Well, he didn't like the kick out part. He wanted to stay. But he was faithful in continuing to preach. So after these things, that's what those things were. And so you need to understand, he was human, right? If you pinched him, he'd say, ouch. If you tickled him, he'd probably laugh. He was human just like we are. He was probably getting tired as well. I mean, if you were traveling and trying to preach the gospel and getting kicked out all the time, you'd get tired. If you do anything and get kicked out, you get tired, right? Let alone the gospel. So he's probably getting tired, a little weary. It says, after these things, verse 1, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Now, Corinth was an extremely wicked city. So if you can think of a wickedness that makes it wicked, that's what it had. And we don't need to talk about the wickedness, but we all know what it is. Verse number 2, it says he found friends and he started working with them. We all need friends. We all need friends in ministry. We all need friends to help us to get through things, to encourage us. But I believe that these friends, we were lifelong friends from this point forward, as we see them all the time with Paul going forward. Verse 3 says, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for the occupation, for they were tent makers. You start living with somebody, you become a good friend, right? Your friends are enemies. And one or the other, but they become friends. Verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. There's a principle here that we ought to have in our life. Every Sabbath, he went out soul winning. We should have a principle of soul winning in our Christian life. Because how do you plant churches? You get people saved. You lead them to Christ. And they begin being added to the church. We find that later on. Verse number 5, it says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. So first character trait we find is that you need to be a soul winner. The second thing we find is you need to be led of the spirit. In verse number 6, it says, when they opposed him, the third thing we find is when you do those first two, you're going to have opposition. So don't be discouraged. Oh, I might knock on the door, they close it. Okay, we'll go to the next door. You know, you'll run out of doors before you run out of excuses not to go, I suppose, right? I mean, you're not going to run out of doors, are you? No. I mean, there's 24 million in that one city that you're telling me about? Yeah, that's plenty of doors to go knock on. There's 10 million, or there's actually 5 million doors in Hungary that need to be knocked on. Anybody want to help? Taking volunteers. Come on. I'm working with a pastor. I was telling the preacher, working with a pastor just about 2 hours from here. We land on the 9th, he lands on the 12th, and on the 13th, it's Tuesday to Tuesday, we're going to try and get out 5,000 tracts in a village there that, to my knowledge, has never had the gospel. And the people in the area have asked, they don't know of any other gospel going to them. So we're going to go knock on some doors through the means of putting the gospel in a mailbox. And so these are character traits we find in Paul that he had in order to plant the church. But verse 6, it says, they opposed him themselves and blaspheming, he shook his raiment. So he's getting cussed at, he's getting shaken. And then Paul says, your blood is on your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So he went and preached to the Jews, because the gospel is for the Jew first. And then he went to the Gentile. And that's the pattern we need to have in our Christian life. Verse number 7 says, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Isn't that wonderful? Preacher, we're coming through town, headed toward the church, and I said, hey, we went door knocking on that street and down in this area, and I remember the area that we were there. And you know what we were doing? We were trying to lead whole houses to the Lord when we were door knocking here back in September. And there's room for more houses here. There's plenty of room. And you can always fill up the gymnasium with people. You've got plenty of room. Are we praying for the whole houses to be saved? Are we asking the Lord that for this house, that it's your neighbors, to be saved? I believe Paul had a prayer life that he prayed for houses to be saved. And throughout Scripture, especially the New Testament, you find where whole houses are saved. And we ought to pray for that. Verse 8, he says, "He believed on the Lord with his house, many of the Corinthians, hearing." Now, how do we get faith? Faith comes by, isn't that something? Right here in Scripture, the ingredients of starting a church, they've got to hear the gospel. If they don't hear the gospel, you're not going to start a church. And same with build a church. Same with grow a church. If the people out there don't hear, they're not going to come in here to hear. It's as simple as that. Verse number 9, and these are the two text verses I would like to look at tonight. In verse number 9, verse number 10, it says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul." Remember how we get faith? By what? Hearing the word. Not hearing Sports Center, right? That's not how we get faith. That's probably how you lose faith. But how you get faith is hearing of the word. And what is the word? God. For us today, the practical, this is the word. So Paul's faith is increased by this phrase, "Then spake the Lord." As soon as he heard the Lord, his faith was increased. And what happens with increased faith? You do more for God. When you grow as a Christian, when your faith increases as a Christian, and you're more mature as a Christian, then you do more for God. Now remember verse 1, after these things. Remember preaching, getting kicked out, and preaching, getting kicked out. He's getting discouraged. Verse number 6, he's getting sworn at again. I mean, these aren't pretty things. These aren't easy things he's going through. But now verse 9, "Then spake the Lord, his faith is increased." By the way, when we have problems in our life, we find comfort in the word of God. That's where it's at. If you have troubles in your life, a friend of mine, every time there's something going on, he's one of my spiritual leaders, every time something's going on, he always says, "Jason, I've been praying for you, and here's the verse I got." And the verse is something to encourage me with. Because when you go through troubles, it's the Lord that encourages you. That's exactly what happens here with Paul when the Lord spoke to him. But first of all, he says, "Be not afraid." Well, I mean, if the Lord's saying that, you're good, right? Right? I mean, if someone came up to beat you up and I stood in between, you'd be okay, wouldn't you? Right? I mean, God's a lot bigger than I am. God says, "Be not afraid." You better not be afraid, because God will take care of you. Consider the power of God saying, "I am here." In Exodus 3:14, he says, "I am." And Moses says, who do I tell Pharaoh sends me? Tell him I am. That's powerful enough for me. When you think about the power of the word of God and how it's infallible, without error, and it's inspired and living, eternal and pure, we're good. We're good. When you pick up a newspaper, you go, "Man, that's fake news." That's the term going around now, right? Well, let me tell you, friends, this is not fake news. This is the real deal right here that encourages us. And of course, the Lord says, "I am with thee. I am with thee." Verse number 10, "I am with thee." By the way, when he says, "I am with thee," that's the plan of God. That's the plan. I'm with you. That's a good plan. I'm thinking about the life of Moses in your own head. As he was a baby in the little basket, God was with him. As he grew up in Pharaoh's house, God was with him. As he went out into the wilderness, God was with him and came to him into the fiery bush and said, "I am." God was with him, and God used Moses greatly. God can use us greatly as well, because God is with us as a Christian. The next phrase there, it says, "No man shall hurt thee." No man shall hurt thee. That's pretty comforting, huh? I mean, just earlier that day, he had some people try and beat him up. And just last week, he was over in Athens getting a little kick in the tail too. And then he was getting down in a basket and letting out of a window. You remember these stories? Things aren't going well for him. He's trying to preach the gospel and everybody's against him. But God comes to him with protection. You see, God's plan is he's with us. God's protection is that no one's going to hurt thee. No one's going to hurt thee. And then, of course, the purpose. The purpose. Why is God going to have a plan? Why does God have protection? The purpose is the people. I have much people in the city. Think about Corinth with maybe 600,000 people. It's a mixture of Jews, Greeks, Romans, and other nationalities, and very multicultural place. But Christ has a goal to build his church inside Corinth. And I believe that's true wherever people are. Christ has a goal of building a church there. When you think about all the people and the way that Jesus viewed them, remember, he saw the people and had compassion. Compassion. God has compassion on people. That's why he died for them. That's why he bought them and paid their sin debt. Because of the compassion that he has for them, he wants to restore a fellowship that's been broken and has compassion. You know, compassion is simply doing something for somebody that they can't do for themselves. It's not a complicated term. If take, for example, you can't do something for yourself. My daughters convinced me to get some puppies. And that was while we were traveling on deputation. No puppies in the van, all right? We got enough. So we get to Hungary. We got a couple puppies for them and little white dog, about yay big, and it's getting a bath. And its little foot went down the drain. Remember, we're talking about compassion, something that you do for somebody that can't do for themselves. So this dog's foot goes in the drain, and it screams and yelps. And my wife, who's washing the puppy, screams and yelps. And then my kids scream and yelp. And then I screamed. You know I screamed, right? I had to get off the couch and go help the dog. So I go and I figure out what the problem is, and its foot is stuck. It went down, but it ain't coming back up. So every time the dog jerked on it, it's in pain. So I take the plumbing apart and pulled it out. What did I do? I did something for the dog that it could not do for itself. And I think about souls. That's what's important. Remember the plan of God in verse number 10. It's much people in the city. That's the plan. The souls, they're lost. They're dead. John says this. John chapter 3 says they're spiritually dead already. They're already condemned. They have no hope. But faith comes by. And how can they hear unless a preacher sent? And how can a preacher go unless they go with the gospel, with the truth of God's word? There's a scripture, it's in Colossians, where Paul talks about this, that he goes with the gospel of Christ. You know, that's the only reason to do what we do as a Christian. That's the only reason to show up on Saturday and go door knocking, to tell others the gospel of Christ. You notice in verse number 4, when it says he reasoned every Sabbath, it didn't say when he felt like it. It didn't say when he was encouraged. I mean, we showed you that he's already discouraged, but he got his encouragement by going door knocking. He got his encouragement by going to the synagogue and telling the Jews and trying to persuade them to the gospel. There's three things, verse 10. It was the plan, it was the protection, and it was the purpose. But then verse 11 is the glue that holds everything together in building a church and church planning. It says these words, and he continued. And he continued. Every preacher I ask that's been preaching more than 20 years, how do you do it? Just continue. Just keep on going. Don't stop. Every day's been perfect, right, preacher? Please just keep on going. Just keep on going. That's the encouragement of the Lord that is given to Paul. You're going to have trouble, but I'm with you. You're going to have problems. People are going to be against you, but I'm with you. And it don't matter what people say. I'm with you. And I died for that church there in Corinth. And I want that church there in Corinth. And I'm going to give you the strength to continue. My friends, may we continue as we serve the Lord with you all here and with us in Hungary. May we continue doing what the Lord called us to do. Preacher?